Welcome to the World Massage Conference.
Hi, and welcome to the World Massage Conference. I'm your host, Melanie Hayden, along with my co-host, Marla Gold, for this presentation with Angie Patrick on You Don't Have to Be a Gorilla to Retail. I'd like to thank our global sponsor, Massage Envy. Massage Envy knows that you have the touch that makes a difference. They provide a supportive and healthy working environment. Visit MassageEnvyCareers.com to find open positions nationwide in the United States. And thanks so much to our daily sponsors, Massage Today. Massage Today is the news source for the massage and spa therapy community. Subscribe to Massage Today News Update free e-newsletter at MassageToday.com. And Massage Warehouse. Massage Warehouse provides massage therapists and related industry professionals with the largest selection of quality products at a great value. Visit their website at MassageWarehouse.com. And the Upledger Institute. The Upledger Institute, founded by John E. Upledger, leads the world in light touch therapy training programs, information, and products. Visit them at upledger.com. And BioFreeze. BioFreeze is pain relief that works. To learn more about BioFreeze, ProSage, and the TheraBand family of products, visit them at BioFreeze.com and TheraBandAcademy.com. In this presentation, you don't have to be a gorilla to retail. Angie's going to be talking about the idea of retailing and the income it can represent. Does that appeal to you? But the thought of selling stops you in your tracks? Learn how to effectively retail product and merchandise that is beneficial to your client while never being pushy or over the top. Retailing ideas from pricing to merchandising. Learn all the best and most effective low-pressure techniques in retailing to add the black ink to your bottom line. Learn how to merchandise your product assortment so that it appears non-invasive in your treatment room. Get pointers on great retail products that consistently sell, providing alternative streams of income and positive cash flow. Learn how to provide these valuable products to your clients in a manner that reflects your core principles and values. I would like to introduce our presenter, Angie Patrick, who's been with us for our third year. She's the Director of Business Development and Corporate Sales for Massage Warehouse. As one of the last remaining legacy employees of the original Massage Warehouse, Angie has worked in every field in massage product distribution, product management, product development, and in outbound sales, marketing, catalog production, and more. Her experience with the world's largest massage product retailer provides her with a uniquely qualified view of current market trends, fads, newly emerging, and mainstay products in the massage industry. Angie also is a regular columnist for the massage industry trade journal Massage Today, and she is also the facilitator of the fundraiser of the massage therapy research Sanctuary that she also created. And Angie truly does bring an incredible amount of expertise in this area. So welcome, Angie. It's wonderful to have you here sharing your information again.
Thank you so much. That was a really great introduction, and I'm really, really honored to be a part of this event. This is the third year, and I think that the World Massage Conference is absolutely the best thing to hit massage in ages. It's just a brilliant concept, and I'm delighted to be a part of it, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, so to get started, I'd like to talk a little bit about retailing products, and this is going to be the slide that has the gorilla and the gorilla on it. Retailing products to your clients need not be intimidating or frightening. You know, and in our profession, it seems as if many therapists feel retailing makes them aggressive or a sales gorilla, thus the idea of the gorilla kind of made me laugh, so I thought that I might share that with you. The truth is that many massage therapy professionals have learned the benefits of offering follow-through products for their clients, and you know, it's not so hard, and you can do it too. It doesn't matter how shy you are or how much you are anti-retail, you really can do this. It's not as difficult as you might think, even if you're just not the salesperson type. Next slide, please. If you think about the message that you're really hoping to convey to your client about you and your practice, it makes this a little easier. You know, in this slide, you're going to see that these are all traits that are positive and strong emotions you either share with your clients or you strive really hard to instill in them, you know, in regards to what you have to offer. So You want your clients to feel safe in your care, and that you are indeed the expert. You want them to know that you're conveying confidence in your care and build that client loyalty. You want to be seen with integrity. You want to gain your client trust. And above all else, you want that client to know you believe that you can help facilitate pain relief, stress relief, aid in management, and provide sound treatment and advice. So really, if you work hard to make all of these things come together and you've begun to build this great rapport with your client, why is it so terrifying to offer them items for retail? I don't know. So we're going to explore a little bit and see how we can overcome this fear. Next slide, please. The truth is, you don't have to be a professional salesperson to be able to fluidly offer and explain information about a product. When it is done with the utmost honesty, integrity, and with the intention consistently, always on the client's well-being, it's going to feel natural to you. So when your heart is really in the right place and your intention is to provide health and wellness for your client, it comes through. It comes through in everything you say. It comes through your eyes. It comes through your energy. Some people can feel when someone is truly sincere. Some people have that really innate ability to know when you're trying to sell them or when you have the really best intentions. No one in their minds ever, in their right mind, ever really want to feel like they've been sold. New slide, please. I love this picture of this guy. This is what, to me, feeling sold typifies. It's the slickster that is trying to sell you snake oil and try to make you feel better. That's not what you're trying to convey to your clients. That's not why your clients come to you. So the thing is, you just have to come from a place of sincerity because no one wants to feel like they've been gotten over on. Next slide, please. So here are a few ways that we can make the word sales a little bit less scary. Thinking of yourself as a salesperson is perhaps not the proper way to approach successful retailing because, you know, for many, the thought of being a salesperson and a therapist don't even exist in the same body. You're not even wired that way. Many therapists just don't even think in that capacity. And that's great. If you were to be a retail person, you probably would have explored a career in retail. But these two things really can live within the same body, and they really can help add ink to the bottom line, and it really can be done in a very integrous way. So thinking of sales as something extra that you do outside of your treatment isn't really accurate either, because providing solutions for your client's issues is part of the treatment, and it should come as a natural progression in your assessment of the clients and their care. Next slide, please. I think I really liked that slide, so I'm going to pass that one over to this one. Should be, you are the professional, ask me anything. When a client is discussing issues of concern about their health, the chances are, in addition to the proper treatment methods to pursue, you might also know of a product that's going to help them. So what you want to do is you want to encourage questions, you know, ask them. After all, they come to you because you are the professional. They sought your help. You didn't lasso them. They're not under hypnosis. They come to you on their own volition and ask you for your professional opinion. So shouldn't you feel compelled to offer the client relief when you know that there's something that can help them? You are the healer, first and foremost. And as a healer, it's absolutely natural to want to provide solutions to problems that cause pain or discomfort. That's why you're in this profession. You want to help others. So the first thing to identify is the type of therapy your services provide. Is your practice geared towards sports massage or maybe relaxation massage? Perhaps you practice Eastern therapies, holistic energetics, spa, rehab, or something else entirely. Once you've established what kind of market your clients are comprise, then you can begin to select products appropriate for your practice, as well as offering the greatest possibility of sell-through. Next slide, please. So let's just use sports massage as our example for the purposes of this slide. Products appropriate for retailing in this type of environment would indeed be hot and cold packs, analgesics, maybe some stretching tools, anything to relax muscles, bath soaks, exercise balls, and so on. So the clientele for this type of massage would be more inclined to buy these types of items from their therapists because this is the same realm as the therapy they seek from you. For these sports buffs, cleanliness is also important. So maybe you will share with them how to clean their equipment with an eco-friendly and green-inspired way. If you're offering more indulgent treatments, offering items such as body scrubs and candles might work well in this space. Appropriate relaxation products such as essential oils, buckwheat pillows, lamp rings, bath salts, sugar scrubs, salt scrubs, scented lotions would be ideal retail for items in spa, maybe even holistic clinics or energy and therapeutic clinics. You see the difference? There's a type of product that makes sense. So I would think if I went to a sports therapist and they wanted to try to sell me sugar scrubs in a candle, well, I might look at them a little suspiciously. However, if they're selling products that they believe in, like eco-friendly cleaners, like ice packs, like the Biofreeze, like the Theravan, the Benefact, I would have to say that I would be a little more inclined to take their suggestion. Next slide, please. So in other words, what I'm saying is part of your care should be suggesting items that you know will work for your client to help alleviate their pain or their issue. So speak about products that you have firsthand knowledge. You know, perhaps you've used a brand of topical analgesic that's assisted you in relieving muscle pain. Maybe you found relief using a hot or cold pack on a joint that's caused you a ton of trouble. Maybe you've used the exercise balls and resistance bands to help stretch your muscles and tone problem areas. Your recommendation of a product and relaying your own personal knowledge and experience reads as truthful and competent and not pushy or money-driven. You see the difference? If I wanted to sell you just anything, I'd just be slinging a whole lot of stuff at you saying, hey, why don't you try this, why don't you try this, and I think you're going to like this, and wow, wouldn't your mom love that? That's not what this is about. That's not what retailing should be in a professional therapeutic environment. It should really be driven by what may assist your client feel better. So as a professional, your clients look to you to be knowledgeable and to make these recommendations about their self-care, as well as the care you provide in your treatment. So recognizing that these folks are already looking to you to be the professional, it is not unethical to say, I know of a product that might help you. I happen to have it here at the clinic. And if you'd like to take a look at it, it's here on the shelf. Be sure to share with them ways that they can benefit from some of the products you can provide them. You know, listen to the cues you receive from your clients. Listen for phrases that begin with, oh, I love the way that makes my skin feel. Or, what was that wonderful scent you just used? Or, I wish I could feel soft this way all the time. I love the ones when they say, I want to get some of that stuff you used on my shoulder because it really relieved the pain. These are all cues signaling the types of products your clients would buy following a treatment. Next slide, please. The same can be said of pampering products. You can retail these as well. It's far easier to describe the benefits of a sugar scrub when you've actually experienced one for yourself. This philosophy can also apply to virtually any product you will want to retail. So, for instance, if you want to offer pillows, be sure that you've had the experience of sleeping on one. Make sure that you know that if you're a side-lying sleeper, that this is the correct pillow and it helps hold your body in proper alignment. When you speak of a product using descriptive words outlining what the product does as well as its benefits, it'll make the customer feel more comfortable with their decision to try it. Next slide, please. I borrowed this slide from BoomerYearbook.com. It's a positive psychology chart, and really it helped me to outline in a better way than I could probably explain verbally how positive emotion it plays on a sales buying process. So typically people make their buying decisions based on how a product or service will make them feel. It's an emotional commitment. When a person is buying a product, they've made an emotional decision. Very rare is the purchaser that makes a decision based on all sorts of logic and they've thought things well out and they've compared the prices all over the place. Most of the time when we go to the store, We buy a shirt because we like it. We think we're going to feel good in that shirt. We buy socks because we think that they're going to be warm. You know, we buy food because we think it might be tasty. Everything we do is based on emotion. So if you can get gratitude, if I'm looking at a basket that is made by my therapist and I feel like, oh, that's really lovely. I know my grandma would like that. I'm enjoying already the feeling of gratitude that I'm going to get from my grandmother for giving her that basket, you know, or the joy it's going to give me to give it to her. You know, it helps with if I can know that if I buy a lavender oil from a spa, that it's going to help elevate my mood or enhance the way I feel, or if I buy orange oil, it's going to help me feel energized. Again, I'm making a buying decision based on a positive emotion. So sharing the good news, too. I mean, for instance, if I know that I've just bought something from you that made me feel better, I'm going to go tell as many people as I can that may be suffering from the same ailment. If I've just bought an analgesic from you and after the treatment I use that analgesic, I feel better, why would I not go share that information? Because why? It makes me feel good to be able to share information that people can use, so that tags into the love emotion, and then savor in that feeling of being able to help someone. Do you see how all sales really boil down to emotion? So this thing can run a gamut of joy to awe, love to humor. You know, the goal is to evoke a positive emotion about a product through your own words and your own truths. If you can relay this information from personal experience, you inevitably will see a rise in your retail revenue. You will also feel good about the recommendations that you've made because you are absolutely certain about the quality of the result of the products that you offer. When you look at retailing as part of the natural progression of your treatment, because again, emotional health is equally as important as physical health. I think they go hand in hand. And if we know of something that will make someone feel better, then haven't we really affected change? Don't they feel better? Wasn't that our goal to start with? It just makes sense in offering peripheral products. And it makes it far less intimidating if you have this type of understanding that it's not a guilty thing to sell. No one is going to be taken for granted if you have their best intent at heart. When you can relay positive and truthful information about the products, about how they work, about the results you've personally experienced, then you're not selling. That's not selling. That's suggesting. And you're offering a venue for which they can partake of these products. You are sharing useful information about products to fulfill a need in the daily lives of your client to make them feel better. Again, we're going back to feelings. When you feel confident about what you're offering, you will find that your ability to share comes through more naturally. Your customers will certainly appreciate it. And you know what? In the end, so will your bottom line. And there is no shame in making money on your bottom line. And if you've done that with integrity and you've done that with positive intention, well, then that's just icing on the cake, isn't it? Not only have you used your talents to help someone in pain, but you've also perhaps shared with them other means by which they can involve positive emotion and feel positively about themselves and about the way that they feel overall. The next slide, please. So that's the first place. You got to come from a place of emotion, okay? The second thing that we want to look at for a successful retail presentation is to look at your waiting area. Maybe you've thought about making a small array of items available to your clients after their massage, but you really aren't sure just exactly how to make them attractive without seeming overwhelming or pushy. This is a picture of my office, and I staged it to look like a waiting room, but I think this is pretty typical of anyone with a spa. It'd probably be a little more prissy if it was in a real spa, but I mean, I would consider this a nice waiting room if I were to walk in someplace. It feels calm. It feels spacious. I don't feel cramped. It feels clean. These are all things that you want it to feel. And next slide, please. In that same setting, you can see little subtle things that are set out there. You can start, first of all, with a well-placed menu of services with all of your prices and descriptions clearly stated. So if there's a holiday nearing, capitalize on this and use it in your menu offering. The good news is that you can create tasteful and elegant displays for your chosen retail items that enhance the calm and serenity of your treatment room or facility. So if you go back and think, none of this looked pushy when we looked at the previous slide. It all looked very calm and serene. But little, small, subtle things have been placed around that put your client in the thought process of, ooh, I could use that to feel better. Ooh, I might want to use that foot protocol. That might make my feet feel better. So now you've upsold your massage by $25. Oh, wow, and look at that leg scrub. I could maybe do an exfoliation on my legs. Let me add that for another $10. You're not asking them to do anything. You've simply provided the information. They are making the active choice. They are making the decision to spend more money with you. And you're being able to, in turn, offer them something of value. Next slide, please. Merchandising and displaying items for resale, such as gift certificates and other smaller items in your practice, they don't have to cost a fortune. You know, a few well-placed items and some planning and a little bit of an imagination, you can create an atmosphere of pampering, of self-indulgence, and continual self-care for your clients to take home with them. Now, see, this was on the side table. You didn't walk into that room or look at that room and think, good grief, that's just overwhelming. But now I've set the seed in motion in their minds. Hey, you know what? I bet my mom would really like a massage. Maybe I'll get her a gift certificate when I come out. Well, that's money right now for business you're going to do later, and that just simply makes sense. Next slide, please. There are a myriad of ways to display your chosen lines. The key here is simplicity. And you want to keep the clutter feeling down to a minimum and allow the products to be the true stars of the display. See, here in my shelving unit, this too was in my office, you know, you mix in organic items with the products and it doesn't look so overwhelming. You want to make sure that lighting is important too. The shadows you want to keep to a minimum. Any product that is back in the shadows looks like something that you're really not so proud of and you're not so proud to represent. So keep everything. In retail, it's called fronting your shelves. You want to keep, if it's on a shelf, you want to keep everything to the forefront. You don't want to line everything up at the back of the shelves. That's a very timid presentation. And although you don't want to be bold and in their face, in my opinion, I don't think that this is executed in that way. This looks like a very calm and serene photograph of what could be in anyone's treatment room with fluidly selling retail products that have been proven and tried over time. Next slide, please. Often, finding related props that can help create a certain feel in your display is not as hard as you might think. Natural elements are easy to find and can assist in creating an attractive display. Here, my treatment room is inspired by Bali, with natural woods and fibers and contrasting textures and exotic florals. Next slide, please. The candles also can spice up the room and spice up the wood tones, not only putting out a scent that is attractive, an aromatherapy that perhaps your client might be drawn to, but it enhances the mood of the room. So your treatment can be reminiscent of the mood that you're trying to create. So let's take, for example, you are in an ocean environment. You're near the ocean, and you're working in a beach spa or something very tropical. Well, perhaps you want to do a little bit of that. Maybe you want to put a few seashells around. Maybe when you're doing your presentation, you nestle a candle in a pile of beautiful white glistening sand. I just think that's lovely, and it's also natural, and it gets the point across for retailing perhaps that candle without standing right in their face and going, boy, you should smell this. This smells great. I think you should buy it. They make those decisions on their own because they see it in use. They put themselves in an environment and in a headspace where, wow, that would be nice on the edge of my tub when I get home. I could surely use that to relax. So it's not selling. It's not selling in the space where you're being pushy. This is passive retailing. This is where you're not really lifting a finger other than to provide the opportunity. Clients, when it's well executed, will take you up on that opportunity, and you will have an extra stream of income. All right. You can click the next screen, please. Let's talk about the way that you discuss prices. You know, for some, it can feel very awkward to discuss price with a client who might be interested in your products. So taking all of the guesswork out of the pricing by clearly labeling the shelving and the products can simplify the whole process for both of you and your client. So both of you, neither of you have to feel uncomfortable. So by clearly defining the price of your goods with appropriate and professional signage, you are allowing the client to make decisions based on their own economic situations, which will alleviate the uncomfortable questions about price and allow your client to make the choices appropriate for their own financial circumstances. In this case, this is a spa that and obviously a hair care salon as well. And as you can see on their shelves, the shelves are notated with pricing. And the picture isn't as clear as I'd like. It kind of got a little fuzzy as I expanded it. But they've clearly used the shelving as their talking tool. So I don't have to embarrass myself if I wanted to go up and buy, you know, a bottle of something and say, oh, yeah, well, how much is this? Oh, I'm sorry. I can't afford that right now. And then you have the embarrassment of having your client have to put it back on the shelf. And then your heart is broken because really all you want to do is give it to them if you think it'll help them. I get it. I truly do. But it's a business. And so you have to keep your business sense about you. And the way to avoid this whole uncomfortable feeling is to simply take the time to professionally label your shelves. And by professionally, I don't mean handwrite signs. Don't do that. They make label makers. You've got computers. There are ways that you can print these things out and make them look very professional. Next slide, please. Too many signs can give the appearance of a yard sale environment. So please avoid handwritten signs and price stickers. I am not a fan of price stickers. There are those who say that's the best way to clearly define the price of a product so that there's no question. However, if I take home a product and it's something that I care about and I want it to work well with my issues, I just feel weird if I bought it from my doctor and it's got a price tag on it. When we buy a prescription from our doctor, it doesn't come, God knows we pay it, but it doesn't come with the price tag sitting right on top of it. So I just think if it's a healthcare product or a product to help alleviate pain, discomfort, or maybe even enhance relaxation, reminding them that they've had to pay extra money for it by leaving the price sticker on it just isn't in line with continual retail sales. So these techniques don't present a professional appearance anyway, and they can detract from the image you are hoping to present to your clients. You don't want to present this stuff for sale, cheap, free, all behind the store, come and get it today look. You can print labels and signs easily enough from a PC, and doing this is going to be it's going to be paramount to streamlining the look and feel with a more desirable effect on your sales. Next slide, please. Clean and thorough placement of your products speaks absolute volumes about you. I mean, you don't want dusty shelves. First of all, no one should walk into a treatment room or a waiting room and find dust. It's a pet peeve of mine. I'm a little bit of a germaphobe. Anybody who knows me knows that. But if I walk in and I'm seeing cobwebs in the corner or, you know, bits of paper on the floor or dust everywhere, then I'm wondering how clean is that treatment room? You know, if this is the way they greet their customers or their clients, how clean can I expect that room to be? So when you're thinking of your retailing displays, don't just sit it there and let it grow dust. Dust on a hole on a box of wonderful products that can help your clients makes the client think, you haven't sold this stuff in ages. Why in the world would I want to buy it? You have to dust. Make sure that everything is clean. A display with ample product appears well-kept and well-maintained. So you also want to avoid allowing any one item to be presented alone, because when you do that, it makes it seem like an afterthought rather than a really promoted feature. It should be grouped in minimums of threes whenever possible. I'm a fan of triptychs. I like things in threes, from the tallest in the middle and flanking. I'm a fan of symmetry, and to me that just, it screams clean, neat, concise. So you can see in this image, I've stacked some things. Some things are center-lined in the middle of the square shelves. Others are set in triptychs, either three high or three wide. If you get down to two, people think, when was the last time they sold it? If you're down to one, they think you've never sold it ever and you only ever bought one. So three is a very nice, comfortable number if you're going to display items and you don't want to be too pushy. Three's a great number. It will provide an ample product of stock as well as it's a pleasingly aesthetic look. People like to see things in threes. It's a psychological thing in retail. I learned this back when I was doing real retail in a outlet mall environment. And that was one of the things that I really took away from the merchandising aspect, is that you want it to be appealing to the eye. So odd numbers are important with a center focus. So if you've got the center focus product and the same product flanking both sides, you've achieved balance, and that's very, very important. So the next slide, please. Gift baskets are a time-saving way for your clients to shop for special occasions, like for baby showers, holidays, or other events. Now, again, if you're in a sports environment, this is going to seem a little weird. But maybe what you put together in a sports environment is, you know, maybe a stretching band. And if you're doing any kind of if you're in a chiropractic office, maybe there's some supplements in there, some vitamin supplements. Maybe there's a nice water bottle. Maybe there's something, you know, something else in there, like a hand exerciser that you put together for those sports buffs. It doesn't have to be relegated just to the prissy spa side, but any type of therapy can do that. I mean, if you're doing Eastern therapies, there are tons of products that you can bring about. Teas that are really lovely. You can make a really nice gift basket to help add a little extra something to their visit. You know, if you create these baskets with a theme in mind, some ideas might include like a home spa night, for instance, which could have an array of soothing teas, maybe a salt or sugar scrub, a foot treatment, maybe even some music, you know, a candle, a loofah sponge, and all this in a basket covered with a little bit of organza and tied with a ribbon. Suddenly, this is a really nice gift. Each one of these things alone is pretty fabulous, but when you pile all this stuff together and you make it look really nice, this inexpensive gift becomes more than a gift of a few products. It's a gift of relaxation. It's a gift of an emotion. You're going to give someone an emotion. You're going to receive an emotion in return. Not only will your client feel good about buying it, they're going to feel good about giving it, then passing that good feeling along to the person who's receiving it. So you see how retailing can energetically pay things forward in a way? I know that you're thinking, wow, that's a stretch. But if you think about how it goes down the line, isn't that what the holiday season's all about? You want to give presents to people you appreciate, or a birthday present. You want them to feel loved. You want them to feel special. Well, if you can provide this for your client and it coincides nicely with the treatment that you provide, how is that in any way a challenge to your ethics? I don't see it. I see it as a service. I see it as a service that you should be providing your client. You shouldn't be pushing it on them, but you certainly should be providing it, because it's passive income. It's income you can get without a whole lot of hassle, and it's a decision that your client's made because they've based it on an emotion that they want to do this for another person. So by having this ready-made gift available for your client, you've just made their gift giving a whole lot easier. You may have eased their stress for a holiday season, for Mother's Day or for Father's Day or for whatever day, and have increased your own income. I cannot for the life of me see the downside to that. I'm not all about the money. I think anybody that knows me, I don't think money stinks, not by a long shot. I'd rather have it than not have it. But if I can do these little things that ultimately will help someone else in their life, and I also can reap some reward from it, then I think it's a win-win all the way around. The next item, please. Okay, and the third piece in a successful retailing program is pricing. Now, this is one that we go back and forth on a constant basis about in my office. My office specifically deals with corporate sales and multi-location spas and this type of client. And that being said, you know, they buy from us at professional prices. What do we sell to the consumer? What do we sell to our client? And, you know, whether you're buying from Massage Warehouse or wherever you're buying your products, you need to consider a few things. It's not just, hey, I bought this for $8, I think I'll sell it for $12. And that's great if that's your philosophy, but I think you're missing a very key, important part of pricing. You'll likely be buying your retail products from the same place you buy your professional products. And like I said, whether that's Massage Warehouse, which it should be, but whether it is or isn't, you're going to want to think about your pricing. So often your professional supply company might offer specialized pricing for select retail items. So spending your time trying to match professional pricing found in professional catalogs and in advertisements to you as a professional is really a waste of your time. And I'll say this because I hear this a lot. If Angie, if I buy this from you for $4 less, how in the world am I going to make any money on it selling it to my client for, you know, $3-$4 more? Well, we're professional pricing. We offer professionals pricing. So if you're going to buy a product from me and say you're going to buy a pillow for $13, okay, you're going to have to consider your shipping. You're going to pay for your pillow, bring it to your shop, consider everything you've got in it, and double it. That's how you're going to make your pricing, because the odds of my catalog or people coming to our website who are your clients are slim and none. I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying that's not really their shopping revenue. Their idea of shopping for relaxation is going to be at the Walmart aisles. It's going to be at the CVS pharmacy. It's going to be in those types of places. When they come to you, it's a specialized event. You're supposed to be providing products that they can't fluidly get on their own, so it's not going to be something that is in competition with CVS. It's not going to be something, you're retailing something that you shouldn't feel in competition with your supplier over, because your supplier, if you're buying professional-grade products, should be selling only to professionals. So that being said, you will be offering your specialized professional products to clients. And typically, they're not going to be able to find it in their discount department stores. So your professional advice and suggestion also accompany that product sale. So keep in mind, you are the professional. You're the one who has helped them make the choices that they've made about their retailing. So that comes into play, too. I mean, your professional advice counts for a great deal. So your client will likely never frequent the supply company or catalog or website that you buy your stuff from, and they're never going to see the prices offered from those places. Chances are they never will. So offering your product at an increased price is not bad business. Don't feel guilty about that. That's what retailing is. You buy a product or a commodity at a discounted price because of your professional affiliations, and you retail that to your clients at a markup so that you can provide them product and still have the ability to put a roof over your head and food on your table. Typically, the manufacturer's standard retail price would be a really great starting point for your retail venue. But and this should always be available from your supplier. So say you're buying something that is that has a MSRP, manufacturer's standard retail price. That would be a great place to start for your consumer sales. The client is benefiting from your expertise, your instruction, your personal evaluation of the products that you offer, so don't sell yourself short. Yes, we would like to give away products. I love giving away products. It makes me feel good to do that. But the fact is, it's still a business, and you're the professional. Your time, your effort, your energy, your research, and you bringing it in and making it available for your clients are all things that you should really consider when you're talking about retailing and finding out what the pricing should be. The next slide, please. So the word of the day when it comes down to the final analysis, the easiest thing you can do is, let's say that you bought a case of four of something, okay? And this case of four of something cost you $20, and it cost you $6 to get it to your house. So you have a $26 investment all of a sudden in your hands. You've got $26 worth of product. The quickest way to figure out what you should retail that for is to take 26, you divide it by the four products, and then you double that amount. That's called keystoning, and that is the easiest way and probably the safest way to figure out how you should be pricing your products. It's that simple. You just take what you pay, you factor the shipping, you double it, and ta-da, there you have it. Your pricing is done for you. And if you find that you can find things on sale, well, that's even better. Then you can offer your end user a better deal. That's how people like Overstock.com do so well, and people like TJ Maxx and Home Goods, they buy things that are on sale. They buy things from their manufacturers that are overruns, or maybe they're on sale at the time, and they're able to pass those savings on to their clients. There's nothing saying that you can't do the same thing. So I hope that in this presentation you were able to pick up a few retailing hints and maybe make this more part of your natural progression as you provide therapy and guidance to folks. It's not difficult to share information about these products once you believe in them and you can talk about them fluidly from a personal perspective. This is real and it's honest and it is greatly appreciated by your clients. I encourage you to ask questions of your suppliers to find the right product lines for your needs. You can start small. You don't have to start in case quantities. You can start with professional pricing from any one of the websites out there that deal with professional pricing, like any of the websites that cater to massage therapists, any of the catalogs that cater to massage therapists. You take these items, you take a few of them, and then you find out which ones you feel would be beneficial to the clientele that you serve. And whether you begin with a little bit or a lot, the important thing, really, just get started. You know, you're going to be very glad you did at the end of the year and you take everything to the tax accountant and you realize, hey, I made a profit this year, and maybe I can make that car payment, and I might be able to buy some things that I really wanted for a while. It makes a difference. The little things make a difference. And starting with retailing is certainly something I encourage you all to do. I thank you very much for listening to this presentation. I hope you did learn a few things. And as always, I'm available if you have any questions at apatrick@massagewarehouse.com. Thank you.
Angie, thank you so much. That was a really great presentation. You talked about a lot of really great points. Just the intention piece of what's our intention. We're not there to, you know, sell someone something they don't want. And every single one of us are consumers. We're absolutely all consumers, and our clients are consumers. And like you said, we do the research to make sure that we're using the best possible products that are out in the market, and our clients look to us for our expertise in a lot of different areas, including some of the products and services that they might be able to use that they can bring home with them that help them, like you say, have a better experience in their lives, mm-hmm. that help them share these great experiences with their families, that help make themselves happy, that help make other people happy. And, you know, your point about products within our scope was really, I think, an important piece that I haven't necessarily heard anywhere else before.
Well, thank you. I think it just comes from, you know, when you just like with anything, if it's done with integrity and it looks like something that is a logical progression of your therapy, it should be, if you believe in that product, it should be something you consider retailing. If it's helped one person, it can help another person.
Absolutely. And like you said, I mean, none of us are going to, you know, we're not interested in selling products that we don't believe in or even recommending products that we don't believe
exactly.
in. Exactly. And again, the bottom line is, you know, my clients continually ask me, you know, oh, you used, I love ProSage. And it's a heat product from mm-hmm. Performance Health, and I love that product, and my clients love that product. So they're constantly, where can I get this? Where can I get this? Where can I get this? So mm-hmm. It's up to me, really, to help support them in their healing process as well. And it benefits everybody. This falls under that win-win-win category.
Absolutely. And, you know, when somebody gets, if you're in a spa environment and they've just received a salt glow, or a salt scrub or a sugar scrub, and they walk away smelling fabulous and their skin feels great, that's something they can do in their own shower. And you know they're going to ask you the question. You know they're going to say, how do I get this? What are you going to tell them? You need to be able to answer that question. You don't want to send them to your professional site so they can see your professional pricing. If it's something your clients are asking you for and you're not delivering, then I, in my humble opinion, I don't think we're doing a 100% service to the client. I'm not saying that you have to say, if you're not selling, you're not doing them a service. I'm saying if you've got clients asking you for these things and you can't provide them, then maybe we're dropping the ball a little bit. And you're certainly not doing yourself any good. You're not doing the best you can for yourself by growing your business. Yes, you're a therapist, but you're also a business person. And this is part of that business, and making yourself profitable is extremely important.
Well, exactly. And, you know, our clients want us to stay in business. They want us to be there the next time we call them and say, hey,
that's
I need
right.
my massage. You know, and hey, by the way, it's my wife's birthday, and do you have any of that salt glow? You know, and I'd like to get her a gift certificate too.
Right.
They want that from us. They want our support.
Exactly.
And also, thanks for mentioning the professional pricing. Having, you know, not doing the free come in and get it for free sign.
Exactly.
That, you know, again, we are professionals, and our professional image should be presented in the entire experience that our therapists have for or our clients,
yep.
that we provide our clients. Okay, thanks, Andy. I'm going to bring in Eric. I've changed co-hosts, and Marla was she's working on a PowerPoint presentation for a little bit later, so I'm going to bring Eric in. He's been monitoring our questions.
Hello, Angie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. So we have quite a few questions here, but I want to invite the listeners to submit questions to Angie. Any questions you have about retailing, submit those now. We'll get to a few of them. And I'm going to give four prizes away. And these are all from Massage Warehouse. And these are going to go to people that submit questions. If you don't have a question to ask, then just submit your email address. So we are giving away two table cover kits.
We deliver the content-rich environment.
Two table cover kits, which include...
Oh,
and before I say that, if you're going to submit a question, include your email address, please, just so we can get a hold of you, so we can identify who you are and to get that prize to you. So two table massage cover kits that include a sheet set, a digital table warmer, and a thermal blanket. We are also going to be giving away an NRG Karma massage table package that's worth $249 and a hot towel cabby that's worth $179. So submit those questions and we'll pick people from the people that have submitted questions.
Awesome.
Okay, first question, because our time is getting tight here. There's a few people that are very interested in doing retail, but they find themselves in different kinds of situations than a typical situation that you're describing. So here's Ruth from McKinney, who says, what if you have a mobile service? How would you go about selling without being pushy? Any suggestions for Ruth?
Absolutely. One of the easiest products on the planet to sell is an analgesic. So let's just say that you're going in and you're applying a cooling analgesic to someone. In your table bag, you probably have another bag, or maybe you're carrying, you know, a therapist's a shoulder bag or something. Why not have a couple of tubes of analgesic in your bag? Why not have, if you're using aromatherapy, why not have a couple of unopened bottles of your lavender oil or whatever blend you may be using? Why not carry just a couple of those with you? So when your client says, God, you know what, you know, I feel good. What'd you just put on my shoulder? You can pull it right out of your bag, a brand new tube, and say, yeah, this is what I use. I use this a lot in my profession, and I find that it helps a lot of people. You know, I've got it. If you're interested in it, it's like $12 a tube. Well, yeah, here's some more money. I mean, it's that simple. They rarely ever say, oh, I don't think so. If they're asking you about it, they really want to know. They really want to know because they really want that product. So I would say just keep a few little things, especially if you're mobile. You don't want to weigh yourself down too much. Just keep a couple of little things that you use in your practice, in your bag, unopened, with the seals intact, and that's a great way for you to begin retailing.
Okay. Now there's several people that find themselves in this kind of situation. I'll give you a couple here. Darlene in Plymouth. She says, please comment on how we can introduce products without much space and without big cash outlay. And then another person says, sorry, there's lots of questions coming in here. Basically, I can't find the question now. They don't have a waiting room. So any suggestions for people with a very limited amount of space or no waiting room?
Absolutely. You know, you can buy. Let's talk first about the one that, about the cash outlay. That's why I love the idea of the threes, because many places require you to buy, if you're going to retail, buy in case quantities. And although, as someone who would be a provider, I would love it if you could buy in case quantities, but the realistic view of that is not everyone can. So I think if you can buy three things, pick three items, buy three of each one. This is not going to cost a gabillion dollars. And realizing that this is money you're going to be making back, it's a great litmus test to see if your product mix is the right mix. So you don't have to spend a whole lot of money to get started. Just pick three good products that you feel confident about, that you feel like people ask you questions about, and spend just a little bit of money. It doesn't have to be hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You don't have to go into debt to do that. And to speak to the point about I don't have a waiting room, how would I go about retailing? There, I love a corner shelf, and I know that sounds kind of what, but for me, a corner shelf, you can get these at IKEA. They're like $35 at IKEA. Corners are often underused space, and a corner shelf can hold a great deal of product, especially if you're using, again, the triptychs, because if you think about a corner shelf, it's rounded. You can put these things in a nice triptych design and counter them with an organic component. Maybe you put a plant on one shelf, three tubes of analgesic on one shelf, maybe three tubes of a foot balm on another shelf, and on another shelf maybe three scrubs if that's the business that you're in. Otherwise, if it's sports, you can do the same thing with that. You can use the handballs or the stretchy bands, or you know, you name it. You can do this, and you can do it in the waiting room, I mean in the treatment room with the client. It's not invasive. You're not invading their space. It's there. They're probably going to ask you about it, or at least create some kind of a conversation that opens the door for you. I wouldn't say, hey, would you take a look at the corner shelf where I've got a whole bunch of stuff on sale? That's not where any of us are wired. None of us want to do that. None of us who get the treatments want to hear that either. But if I'm asking you about it, if it's just available and I can see it and I'm asking you about it, well, then I really do want to know. So there's your door opening. You don't have to be the first one to throw the first volley to make that sale.
Okay. Now, thanks, Maria from Prague, for submitting that question. And now Deb from Westfield, Massachusetts. She's in a situation that a lot of people are in too. They hand make their products.
Oh,
so
wow.
she has a pricing question. She says, how would you price a homemade product such as my microwavable heating pads?
Okay. I would say here would be my rule of thumb, and this is just the Angie Patrick rule of thumb. But if I take the time to make a product, first of all, I would measure the time it takes me to make the product. So let's just say I don't know what all is entailed. Let's just say 30 minutes is what it takes you to make that product. Well, that's a valuable 30 minutes out of your time. Plus, you're talking about your materials. You need to figure out what you've put into this in, as far as materials are concerned, what the filling costs, what the fabric costs, your time and place. So let's say that you have an IPAC, okay? Maybe you've made an IPAC, and again, I don't know what your costs are. I'm making this up. But in all said total time and everything, you might have $4 in that IPAC. I would say you take that $4, you take your expertise in making it, and you charge $8 for it. You just double what you have into it. But you have to value your time. You're the one that has to value your time. If you can crank out four iPillows in an hour, well, then take your hourly rate, whatever you think you're worth, and I know we all think we're worth $1 million an hour, and we are, but realistically what that time is worth in manufacturing, and divide it by four, and then that's the number that you use. You just take what you have in it plus whatever you think your time is valued at and double it, and that should be your retail price.
Okay, that's a fantastic guide. I'm just going to ask you just one more question, because this is coming up in a lot of different ways, but a lot of people are wondering whether it's worth the effort. Are sales product sales licenses required? Tax ID numbers? What kind of bookkeeping is involved? How complicated is this?
It's not so complicated as you might think. There are programs, commercial computer programs that can track your inventory for you, calculate your taxes, and do that sort of thing. It's not a huge investment, but if you're going to go into retailing full bore, you're going to want to look at that software. But yes, if you're going to be a legitimate retailer and you're going to be above board, you do want to look at your sales licensure in your county, state, parish, so forth, and you're going to want to make sure that we're giving Uncle Sam his part, because what you don't want to do is have a great retailing practice and then 10 years from now, because you've never, ever filed your taxes, have big old fat lien put on your house because you've done something incorrectly. It's always best to check into your state, check with your licensing board, check with your county, and make sure that you have all the licenses in place. I would never, ever recommend retailing without proper documentation and a business license, because you're really, if you want to be taken as a professional by your clients, you have to provide that professional appearance, and a business license on the wall certainly goes a long way towards doing that.
Okay. Thank you very much, Angie. Now, I just I'm not going to announce the winners, but Scott is here beside me, and he's been helping me with the questions, so he's going to announce the winners of the prizes.
Hi, Angie.
Hi.
Thanks for providing us with all these wonderful prizes for our registrants. They've absolutely loved it. So we have two table cover kits, the natural flannel sheets, a digital table warmer, and the white cotton thermal blanket, both valued at $84. And our two winners are Susan Wagner and Terry L. Murray.
All
so
right.
Congratulations to those people. And we have two other prizes, because you've given us so many wonderful prizes. Our next prize is a Massage Warehouse NRG Karma Massage Table, a package valued at $250, and that goes to Phyllis Baker. Congratulations, Phyllis.
Right on.
And a wonderful towel cabby from Massage Warehouse valued at $180 going to Renee Grimes Avery. So congratulations to all of you. I'm going to turn it back over to Eric now.
And I'm going to pass it on to Melanie.
So we're playing beach volleyball here in Toronto at World Massage Conference today. Angie, thank you again very much. It's such an important topic, and it's such a great way to just kind of allow people to ease into it, and a way that we can take a look at integrating this into our practices right away.
Awesome.
Right
thank
away.
You.
So, I also want to thank our global sponsor, Massage Envy. As a Massage Envy therapist, you'll enjoy a professional and supportive working environment, flexible scheduling, and a competitive compensation and benefits package. Visit MassageEnvyCareers.com to hear directly from Massage Envy therapists why they love working in Massage Envy clinics throughout the United States. And I want to thank our daily sponsors, Massage Today, Massage Warehouse, the Upledger Institute, and BioFreeze. And remember that all the presentations, the trade show, and the sponsors information for the spring and fall conference for the 2010, all the 2010 World Massage Conference programs, so that includes like four pre-conference broadcasts in the spring and the three in the fall, tons of education there. That'll be available to you until April 2011. And so we invite all of our registrants to download all the audio portions of the presentations, create a resource library for yourself to take the quizzes for your continuing education units, and also to download any of the handout notes, which, by the way, Angie has sent some handout notes for this presentation, so be sure you download that. And if you are in the United States and you require the NCB-TMB continuing education credits, please follow the link in the registrant area for instructions on how to access your specific certification. And on behalf of the World Massage Conference partners, Eric Brown, Scott Dartnell, and myself, and again, we want to thank all of the participants and our presenter, Angie Patrick. And thank you very much.
And I just want to remind listeners to stay online because coming up in just 2 minutes, we're going to take a couple minutes to switch over. We're going to be announcing the winner of the Massage School Makeover. It's going to be a big announcement because our partners have given $67,000 to a deserving massage school. So Angie is going to stay on the line with us and give us the scoop. So stay tuned for that coming right up.